Our scripture reading begins with Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Our second reading is from the book of James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him.
It's found in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please, come and put your hands on her so that she'll be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." but they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. I would ask any kids to come forward. We got a children's sermon today. So come on up. That's all right. You can sit down. All right. All right. We got support coming up. Wonderful. Chair over here for this guy, too, if you want to sit with us. You sure can. Here we go. All right. So in the story we just read, the guy was really sad because his daughter had died. Yeah, we don't know why she died. She got sick somehow and she died. And then Jesus told the dad, "Don't worry, don't be afraid, just believe." Just to believe, that's all we had to do is just believe. Sometimes it's sort of hard to believe. Like if I were asked you, could you walk through this sheet of paper? No, you can't walk through a sheet of paper like that. That wouldn't make sense. That would be silly, right? So you don't believe you can. Do you believe you can? You can walk through this? No? Okay. Yeah. But maybe there is a way if we do believe. Maybe there is a way. So what we're going to do is we're going to take turns cutting this piece of paper here. We're going to cut it all the way to that dot, and then we're going to stop. Okay. Why do you want to cut all the way to that and stop?
No, I'm not afraid to cut. I'm good at cutting. So good at cutting.
There you go.
I'm good at cutting.
You go a little bit further, right to that dot there. All right. And then we'll take turns here. You want to cut that? We'll make it stop right at that dot is what we're going to do. There. Push down on that and finish that out for us. There you go. You want to turn here? Make sure it stops right at that. Go ahead and push down on that. Make it stop. Excellent. Okay. So we're just going to keep on doing this is what we're going to do here. We're going to keep on going forth and back here, one side to the other. And
whoa,
then, yeah, what's happening? It's
cool.
Getting longer, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Making stairs.
Like stairs, yeah. Yeah. Sort of like an accordion or something there, huh? Oh, yeah? Okay.
Like an obstacle course.
Obstacle
like
course.
You could jump,
yeah, from
like
one to the other.
Like
absolutely.
Boing, boing, boing.
Okay, see, it's going like that. We're just going to keep on cutting it. We're almost there. We got two more cuts here. We're almost there. All right. God had a bathtub?
No, I'm just...
Oh, yeah, he might have. Oh, while you're taking the bath. Okay, he might. Okay, now I'm just going to cut the edges of these all the way down here. We're almost done. You just got to be patient. We're preening her there.
What are you making?
What are we making? You're going to see what it is. It's sort of a mystery here. And we're almost done. If we did this right. This is that same piece of paper, right? It's the same one that you can't walk through, can you?
Yeah.
There's no way you can walk through a piece of paper. Okay.
Oh.
Maya, you want to hold that up? Can you walk through that for us? Go ahead, walk right, step right through. You just walked through the piece of paper. Come on, walk through the piece of paper. It's that same piece of paper that you said you couldn't walk through. Now do you believe you can? You want to walk through that? Oh, yeah, there we go. So if we just believe, it turns out that God can make things happen. Now, we thought we could find a way, or we couldn't find a way, and we did find a way. Was it the way we expected? No, it wasn't the way we expected, but we found a way to do it. In the same way, when God tells us to believe for something, it might happen, but just not in the way we expect. Because His ways are different than our ways. They're better. They're higher.
My sister jumped through that, and she was like, boom, on it.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so if we believe, we can sometimes do things that you would think are impossible. There's no way we can do that. But if we believe, we can find a way.
You have a book, right?
We've got a lot of books up here, yes. So do you believe that God can do things that are impossible? Do you believe God can do things that are impossible? Okay, let's ask the people out here. We're going to ask them to stand up if they believe that God can do things which seem impossible. Anybody that stands up out here believes that God can do things which seem to be impossible. You see that? Everybody out here stood up, and we're standing too. Because with God, all things are possible. Just believe, okay? You're talented. Okay, you can sit back down. If you guys want to go with Marcy and Maya, you're going to go out for kids' church, okay? There we go. Love the enthusiasm, right? We're supposed to be like children before God. So yeah, let's have that enthusiasm as well. And let's just believe, right? Let's just believe. He'll answer. Maybe not in the ways we expect sometimes, but He will. Lord, we thank You for children. We thank You for the chance to believe with a childlike faith, Lord. And let us take You up on that, God. Let us believe with a childlike faith and to walk in that faith, that we could grow closer to You and closer to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. For my interim here, and also my internship, it's sort of a combination, Pastor Kelly at Hope is my supervisor. And he was saying, Mike, one thing you've got to do this summer is you've got to preach through a book on the Bible. Preach through a book out of the Bible. Okay, never done that before, so why not? James has been speaking to me, the book of James. It just comes to my thoughts, and I thought, okay, we're going to pick that. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be working our way through James. We're also going to include the gospel, of course, every Sunday, and maybe the children's sermon on that. And we'll reference it throughout the sermons on James as well. But we're going to get to know James, the book of James, better. There's a lot of wisdom in there. It's sort of like the Proverbs of the New Testament in a way. There's so much wisdom. So throughout the Bible, we see examples of rejoicing. Many examples of rejoicing. David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant as it's coming back. He's just... Can you imagine that? He's out there just let loose and totally dancing. Just pure joy expressing itself. The exiles returning to Jerusalem, joyful that they are coming back to what had been promised to them. The prodigal son, after he had gone out and lived life in a different way, coming back probably hesitantly, wondering if he'd be accepted, just asking to be with the servants. What is he met with? Joy, rejoicing. Dad's just so happy to see him. So happy to see him. And God, the same way with us when we go prodigal. In Philippians, Paul writes about rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. So there's many things in this book, and joy is one of them. There's, you know, like psalms. There's a psalm for every occasion. Some are really solemn, some are very meditative, and some are extremely joyful as well. And today's reading speaks about joy too. And perhaps in a paradoxical way. We'd seen that in James. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So when we face trials, we're supposed to be joyful. That may be a little paradoxical. When Paul was writing to the Romans, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. So rejoicing in suffering and trials, that's a little different, and maybe that one doesn't come so easy. In the midst of hardships, when things are just coming at you from all sides, it's so easy to let your attitude and your whole thinking turn south. But here, we are challenged to rejoice in that. And there's something to that. Good things can come out of that. While the rest of the world looks at it and says, who in their right mind would rejoice under these situations, under these circumstances? As Christians, we know that good can come out of it. God's not going to let anything go to waste. So it says here that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. To persevere, to persist, to keep on keeping on. It's an important trait to develop. You see with little kids, you know, if they're learning to walk or learning to ride a bike, what if they just gave up, said, no, can't do it, I'm not going to try anymore. But no, they do. They see other people walking and say, I want to do that. I want to learn to do that. I want to be like them, and I want to be able to get around. There's just something within them, and they become persistent. And they fall many times. You help them back up, or you hold their hands, and you teach them to walk. And it's the same way with God, too. We're teaching, we're falling many times, and he's just right there grabbing us by the hands and walking us forward and letting us go a little bit and then just smiling when he sees us take those few tottering steps. And after a while, we get better, and then we can walk, and then we can run. But he's right there. He's faithful. Or teaching a kid to ride a bike. Done that a number of times, and they're just wobbling all over the place, and pretty soon they can go, you know, 5 feet and then maybe a little bit further. And then it's like a switch flips. I can remember this when Maya, I was on the grass. I wasn't on the tar when I was teaching her this, okay, on the driveway, but we're down the grass, and all of a sudden it just, bang, it just connected, and it worked. And then she was able to ride. She rode all the way to the shed and without falling over. I got it, Dad. She was just all excited. And God's the same way, okay? He's teaching us, and he is rejoicing. Each and every one of you, when he sees you make that progress, he's just rejoicing. He's smiling over you. Keep that in mind. When times get tough and things seem overwhelming, you have a Heavenly Father who's just looking at you and smiling and rejoicing, waiting for us even when we go prodigal, rejoicing. So this persistence and perseverance is also part of a maturing process. Yeah, kids can have a lot of persistence, but sometimes we give up too easily, even as adults. But as we mature, we get better at it. And I don't know, when does the maturing process end? Anybody here that's been around a while, are you mature yet, fully? Are you full grown? It doesn't end, does it? Okay, we're always maturing emotionally, we're maturing spiritually. You know, the physical maturation, maybe that's taking place for a lot of us, all right? We're mature there that way. But are we mature in our faith? Are we mature in spirit? Are we mature in the emotional realm and things like that? There's so much progress that we can still make. And again, God just sort of seeing that and rejoicing as we take those steps. But the persistence, not giving up, that's important. And it also has other outcomes. We see that the persistence leads to building character. That's what Paul wrote in Romans there. We rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Not only so, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, yes, and perseverance produces character. So someone that's been through a lot, it builds their character. And character is something that has to be built. Well, maybe you're born with it to a certain extent, or it's trained up with you in a certain extent too, but you have to build it as well. And the character many times comes out when you see someone, how someone reacts under pressure, under tough circumstances. They could cave, or they can be determined. They can sort of, to some extent, choose how to react. That determination or grit, okay, I'm going to get through this. We're going to find a way. Good leaders have that many times. And other people might be tempted to give up, and some ultimately do give up. They might turn to other things when things get overwhelming. Don't do that. Turn to God. Bring it to him. Tell him about, God, this is just bothering me. This is bugging me, and I know that you have the answers, and I have faith, and I believe. Never give up. Encourage others in that too, to never give up. If you see people turning to the wrong things or having thoughts of harming themselves or something like that, let them know about a God who cares. Come alongside them. Let God work through you in those times to make a difference for them. One way that God finds his way into people's hearts is through other people, right? He uses us. He helps us. And we can help to make those people the problems, the sufferings, the stress, and the pressure, they can make you or break you, depending on how you want to react to it. And to be persistent here, what it can do is it can make you stronger. It can build your character. It can build your trust. It can build your faith. We can lean on God in those tough times. You read about people over in China, like Brother Yun, imprisoned many times, but not losing faith. Indeed, his faith becomes stronger when faced with hardship. He perseveres, it builds his character, and he has a hope which cannot be quenched. It's humbling to see how some of these people in these incredibly oppressive circumstances push on, push through, knowing that God is there with them and that he's got it. And we are built into stronger people as a result. We may pray for strength, and that's good. Pray for wisdom. Absolutely, it addresses that in James today too, that the wisdom is something that we should ask for if we do not have wisdom. And when you ask for that wisdom, do not doubt that God will provide. Or we might ask for patience, since people are praying, God, I want patience and I want it now. Okay? Yeah? Well, maturing takes time. And developing that character takes time. So when you ask for strength, you ask for wisdom or patience, instead of just immediately, boom, granting it, maybe you'll provide situations where you get a chance to develop strength, to develop patience, develop wisdom, to develop faith and dependence on Him. And those times may not seem fun, but do we come out stronger in the end? Yes, we do. I think a lot of us can look back on our lives and see those times where it seemed tough and I don't know how I'm going to do this. You got through it. You're sitting here today. God is faithful. So instead of just giving it, He shows us how to get through it. I use the same thing in teaching style. I used to frustrate my kids with their homework. It still does with my daughter sometimes. Dad, what's the answer to this? I'm not going to just give you the answer. I'll show you how to do it. I'll show you how to work through the math to arrive at the answer, and then you come out of it stronger because the next time you're confronted with a similar situation, you understand the process and how to do it. If I was just told that the answer is 37.5, okay, you got the answer, but did you grow from it? Did you learn from it? Did you become stronger or increase your understanding? No. So that's important. And God's that same way in His teaching style sometimes. You know, sometimes we wish it would ease up a little bit, perhaps, but no, He knows what's best for us. And He's going to develop us. He's going to mature us. He's going to build that character within us. So we should rejoice in these things. Rejoice when you experience suffering because it produces strength. It increases your strength. Again, also increases your ability to help others. If you've been through something, now you can come alongside those that are going through it, similar situations. If the best counselors many times are the ones that have walked that road. If I'm trying to help someone through a really, really tough marriage thing, I've been blessed with a very good marriage. So I cannot really fully empathize with them. I can understand, I can work with them, I can try to help them, but I can't say I've been there. Some of the best counselors for drugs and alcohol, those are the ones that have walked that road. And not only can they identify with the people, but they can also tell them, hey, it's possible. I'm living proof. I am living proof. And we are all living proof of the goodness of God and what He can do. As we increase our strength, then we also get wisdom that has to be gained. Again, we're not just given it. We have to earn it in a way or go through things. We should rejoice in our sufferings because it also increases our ability to live in faith and not fear. When confronted with these situations, we have faith. We know that God is greater. Greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. And in the midst of the sufferings, in the midst of the trials, live in faith, not in fear. Seen people living in fear before, right? Can they think rationally? Do they make good choices? No. But when someone is living in faith, when they're leaning on God who has the answers, yeah, they're going to get through things and they're going to remain calm in the face of adversity. They're not going to be freaking out, running here and there. They're going to remain calm. They know God's got this. So have that faith. Focus not on what's around you, but on the eternal and on the things of God. That's what we need to focus on. He's got this. We should rejoice in the sufferings because it increases our dependence on God. Our faith comes out stronger as a result. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. I think I'm sort of famous for that. And if I write my autobiography someday, you know, it would be, he had to learn the hard way. Okay? But sometimes that's the way we learn, right? Is by doing it the hard way, by living through it, by experiencing it. And that's part of it too, to build that persistence, to have that patience, to work through it. Trying to do it our own way, yeah, we know where that's going to lead, and we try to live by human wisdom instead of seeking God. It's not going to lead in good ways, and we learn from it, hopefully. And as a result, we are maturing, we are developing our character as we persevere and gaining hope that will not disappoint, as it says in Romans. The humility also. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position. Jesus says that same thing. The people that are last shall be first. And here's reinforcing what it said. Now James, the author of this, it says, brother of Jesus is what it says here. Now brother could be a cousin. It could be his half-brother. It could be a brother in Christ, a believer. We don't really know, but we mostly think that's his half-brother, having the same mother. But again, echoing the words of Jesus, this is one of the first books written in the New Testament, probably the first. It came before Paul wrote Romans. So we should rejoice then in the midst of the sufferings, because we know that it leads to something better. Ultimately, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Tests will come. Trials, persecutions, sufferings. They come to us in a different form than to other people, perhaps. We look at people over in India that we're trying to support right now with Compelled. We're raising money for the motorcycles there. And they've got a whole lot of sufferings and need the perseverance. And they could testify to this a whole lot better than I could if they were standing here before you. They've been there. They've done that. And we're attacked in the spirit. We're attacked through temptation and many other things, but they are also living it out physically. We have the collection for the motorcycles out there, and we'll just take that as sort of the coffee donations. Thanks to Swede, we got coffee this morning too. Appreciate it. And those motorcycles allow them then to reach further into India, to remote places. They can get there more efficiently. And also, they also provide a means of escape. At times, their lives are in danger. And by getting on that motorcycle, they can actually live to share the gospel another day. So a whole lot of good things coming out of that. So you want to talk about the suffering, the trials, the temptations, and things like that. Read about what they're doing. Read the newsletters that come from Compelled and other places. It's incredible what they're going through. So rejoicing in sufferings may seem paradoxical. Again, it's easy to rejoice when things are going great. You're going, yes! But perhaps when things are going too good, do we forget to rejoice sometimes and forget to give credit where it's due? Yeah. When things are starting to go too good, maybe we forget to thank God as the source of all good things and the source of our faith and our perseverance and our persistence and the opportunity to grow in so many different ways. So when the suffering does come, and it does, again, it helps develop us. It helps to build our faith. It helps to build our strength. It helps to build our dependence on God, because after all, he is the answer. The law didn't work. It's the gospel that works. It's what God has done for us that we need to accept, because trying to do it on our own, trying to earn salvation, will never work. He's done it for you. Or are you afraid? Just believe. He's there and willing to help us. So follow Jairus' example, like we saw in the children's sermon today. Things may seem impossible. There's no way I can get through this. No, there is a way. And God's got it mapped out. Just believe. Again, it may not happen in the way that we expect or in the way that we want, but He can provide and will. Just believe. Each one of us here today has been through many things. He's got you this far. Just believe. God is good. Amen.